Title: Opportunity Zones Update, New Proposed Treasury Regulations, Part 2. Content: Qualified Opportunity Zone Businesses. Background: In December 2017, as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, TCJA, Congress established a new tax incentive program to promote investment in certain low-income communities designated by the IRS as Qualified Opportunity Zones. The tax incentives obtained by investing in a Qualified Opportunity Fund, QOF, allow taxpayers to defer paying taxes on capital gain from the sale or exchange of appreciated assets, receive a permanent exclusion from taxation of up to 15% of the originally deferred gain, and for taxpayers that hold their investment in the QOF for at least 10 years, a permanent exclusion from taxation for any appreciation in excess of the deferred gain. On April 17, the Treasury Department released its second round of guidance on Opportunity Zone investments in the form of proposed regulations, the new proposed regulations. These newly proposed regulations supplement and in some cases revise the proposed regulations issued in October of 2018, the October proposed regulations. 1. The new proposed regulations provide further clarity, but leave many questions unanswered. This is part 2 of our series of blog posts on the new proposed regulations. This post addresses key issues relating to the requirements for Qualified Opportunity Zone businesses and Qualified Opportunity Zone business property. For part 1 of our explanation, which addresses qualified investments in qualified opportunity funds, please click on the link here. Guidance on the requirements for qualified opportunity zone businesses in order to qualify as a qualified opportunity fund, a QOF. A fund must have at least 90% of its assets invested in qualified opportunity zone property. Qualified opportunity zone property includes stock in a corporation and an equity interest in a partnership if the corporation or partnership is, or has been organized for the purpose of being, a qualified opportunity zone business. The TCJA set forth specific requirements to be a qualified opportunity zone business. The October proposed regulations and the new proposed regulations clarify and expand on some of these requirements. In general, for a trade or business to be a qualified opportunity zone business, i.e., 70% or more of the tangible property owned or leased by the business must be qualified opportunity zone business property. 2. At least 50% of the gross income of the business must be derived from the active conduct of a trade or business in a qualified opportunity zone. 3. A substantial portion of the intangible property of the business must be used in the active conduct of the trade or business in the qualified opportunity zone. 4. Less than 5% of the average of the aggregate unadjusted basis of the property of the business may be from financial assets, and v. the business must not be one of the so-called sin businesses. The 70% of tangible property test to be a qualified opportunity zone business. 70% or more of the tangible property owned or leased by the business must be qualified opportunity zone business property. How is the 70% tangible property test measured? Under the new proposed regulations, the 70% test is determined by a fraction, the numerator of which is the total value of all tangible qualified opportunity zone business property owned or leased by the business, and the denominator is the value of all tangible property owned or leased by the business. How is the value of tangible property determined for the 70% test? For purposes of the 70% test, a taxpayer that has certified audited financial statements, or financial statements that are required to be filed with the SEC or certain or other federal agencies, may use the value of the property that is reported, or that would be reported, on their financial statement, or, the second, use the unadjusted cost basis of tangible property owned by the business and use a present value method for tangible property leased by the business. Taxpayers without audited financial statements may use the method described in Clause 2. In certain circumstances, a taxpayer may utilize the valuation methodology that is used for determining compliance with the 90% asset requirement. Prior to the new proposed regulations, taxpayers with applicable audited financial statements W.